Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. We worship and we adore you, Lord. David said, no matter what happens to me, if I can just get to that temple and get a hold of the honor of the altar already settled, that's how it ought to be with children of God. We are coming to fellowship, expecting something from the Lord, and ready to give also to the people of the Lord. So we thank you this morning, as it is written, the entrance of your word giveth life. So let us be lifting up this morning like never before, by the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is in the midst of us right now, according to his promise. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Matthew 24, the beginning from the third verse. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We notice in that verse, they only asked the Lord for one sign, right? What shall be the sign? He didn't say signs, right? What shall be the sign? But the Lord in return gave a plethora of signs. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. You only ask what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. But the Lord gave a plethora of signs. So this morning, by the grace of God, crossing signs. Not only a plethora of signs, but the signs are crossing. You know, as we see right now in the world today, crossing signs. Matthew 24, verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that he be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. See, and verse 8 says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Now let me say something about that verse. But we talk about the end, right? There is a coming of the Lord before that end. In it, it's called the secret cash away of the bride. Praise the Lord. That's right. So that there is secret cash away, it won't touch the ground at that time, you know. Rather, he will call us up and we meet him in the air. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that is there, you know. So the world doesn't know nothing about that. An average Bible doesn't even know that. But to the people who are, you know, or to which it appertains, we now know there are different phases of the coming of the Lord. There is such a thing as the revelation second coming, meaning that when he will reveal himself to all the world at that time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The rapture is a secret cash away of the bride. So we see that there. Now, like our brother was sharing here, our news. Iran last night launched more than 300 drones and missiles in retaliation for an apparent Israeli strike on an Iranian embassy 2 weeks ago. Iran's attacks caused, just a minor damage at one military base and a shrapnel seriously injure a 7-year-old boy, you know, in the Arab Bedouin community, so in southern Israel. But Israel intercepted most of the drones and missiles. The U.S. and even Jordan also shot down some of the drones. Even Jordan shot down some of the drones. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it that keepeth Israel. That's number no sleep. So at the east of Jerusalem, so the Lord is around the safe way, amen?
Amen.
As he has been from the beginning, you know, and thank God for the prayer of the saints, amen?
Amen.
Your prayers are not in vain. Every prayer meeting here, we quote Psalm 122 verse 6, right? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Not only us here, but around the world, God is hearing the prayer of his people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what we see here, I'm telling you, like I was talking about Armageddon, that is a facet of Armageddon, India. So, U.S. intervened, right? The king of the south will intervene at Armageddon. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See, the U.S., as soon as they are the first one to spot Iran making a move, and they told Israel, amen? That's right, it's in the news. U.S. is the one to first of all spot the very first movement of this thing. They were satellites, everything. So they told Israel, hey, they are on the move. So Israel is watching, and so that, you know, quickly they move all the, no, they, you know, they all kind of, yeah, career and so on to the area. And they shut down most of those, drones before they even get to Israeli airspace. And they don't even know where U.S. is even starting from. And they don't even know where it is. So it's a type of the King of the South coming at Armageddon. We know that one, so, and it'd be the one. Anyway, praise the Lord. So you see crossing signs. All those signs are crossing. They are happening at the same time, and all that, So as you know, of course, a mass Israeli war is it going on? When Hamas, I will call them terrorists and so on from Gaza, since October the 7th of last year, that is going on. Bible says we're going to hear of wars and rumors of war. We have had two world wars, right? Many think that the third world war will be the Armageddon. See? Anyway, of course, the Ukraine-Russia war have been going on since February 2022. Wars and rumors of war, crossing signs, right, are happening all around us. Time to look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord Jesus. Like Abraham says, he says, time to look up for our redemption draws nigh. Now, even more of the crossing signs. Now, Luke 21:11. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven. 25 verse says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Crossing signs, they are all crossing at the same time. We are at the end of the age. They are all crossing. Not all of them, as well as Now, talking about earthquakes and so forth, even on Monday, April, all happening in this month of April, on Monday, April 8th, this year, a total solar eclipse occurred and was visible in parts of Mexico, North America, and Canada. The part of totality. Totality means when the sun was completely obscured from the earth and in total darkness. So we call it the part of total, totality. So the part of totality is a strip of the continental United States and so forth, where the moon completely obscured the sun, begins from what they call Mazalia in Mexico, cross over about a dozen U.S. states, that part of totality, and then all the way to Texas, and then ending up in Newfoundland in Canada. Signs in the sun and in the moon, crossing signs, right? Earthquakes are happening, eclipses are happening, wars are happening, crossing signs, right? According to the word of the Lord. Let's talk a little bit about solar eclipses and a little bit. There are actually four types of solar eclipses, And one of them is what happened on April 8th, total solar eclipse. This occurs when the sun is fully obscured by the moon. There is such a thing as a partial solar eclipse. The moon doesn't fully block the sun in a partial solar eclipse. Only a portion of the sun is obscured. Here, the moon appears to take a bite, if you will, out of the sun when you see it from the sky. That's a partial solar eclipse. Another type of eclipse is called annular solar eclipse. In the annular solar eclipse, what happens is that the moon is still between the sun and the earth, but the moon is so far away, it's at the farthest point from the earth. The path of the moon around the earth is, it's far away, in its path, is the farthest away from the earth. When another eclipse occurs, what happens is that, so the moon is so small because it's so far away, it doesn't totally cover the sun at that time. So what you see, it's like a band of the sunlight will be around the sun. What they call the famous ring of fire, they call it, That's an annular eclipse, it happens once in a while. The fourth type of eclipse is called the hybrid. The hybrid solar eclipse is a combination of a total eclipse and an annular eclipse. Don't forget, total eclipse, the sun is completely covered. Annular means that only that the moon is centered around the sun, or literally cover it. So you have what they call the ring of fire, right? So a hybrid solar eclipse is a combination of the two. And at one part, it will be total solar eclipse. At the other part, it will be another solar eclipse. That occur, for example, around this time last year, just this month of April last year, it occurred an hybrid solar eclipse. So it was total in some places, and it was annular in some places. All these signs are crossing like this and so forth. In fact, there shall be signs in the sun, the Lord said so, and and in the moon, and on the earth, distress of nations. So all these things are crossing here. They mean something. And only the Bible and only the children of God know what it all means, right? Now, so let's talk about this April 8th, solar eclipse. For the April 8th solar eclipse, Eclipse Entrance 6 have had hotels rooms in Buckland and also in a town called Carbondale or something like that in Illinois. They have booked hotels for months and some of them even for years, but because you can predict this eclipse, right? They have booked hotels for years and so forth. Even in the path of totality around the US and so on, there are about 32 million people in that path who are really trying to watch the totality and so on. If you watch on April 8th, from time to time, they will tell you where it occurs as the sun moves and so on. They are moving as well as, So anyway, excuse me. Anyway, thank you so much. Anyway, so I know why I'm saying this and all that, People and so on, even all kind of things were happening, at that time and so on. So anyway, even in Niagara Falls alone, there were over 2 million people gathered to watch that solar eclipse in Niagara Falls. Only over 2 million people and so on. Let me give you a scripture in Matthew the 16th chapter, what the Lord said, and why I'm saying this one, verse 1 of Matthew 16. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it is the fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, it is the foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? So what am I saying is this. So people of the world, in this last day, so are they, like these people, the Pharisees and so on, and even the Jews of those days and so on, they are the same thing that the Lord addressed. They can predict occurrence of eclipses. Thank God, because they can do that because of the precise movement of the heavenly body by the perfect creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, by the Lord, in John 1:3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything that was made. In Colossians 1:16, we are told that all things were created by him, visible and invisible. Be they principalities or power or whatever. So all things were created by him. So yes, so the heavens are perfect because they are made by the perfect God. See? The Lord Jesus Christ is his name, who created all things. He created all things by our Lord Jesus Christ. So they were doing all these things and so forth. They were doing at the different parts of the totality, they were doing all kind of so-called funny things. Some people are wedding under the eclipse. They don't know what they are talking about. They don't know what is happening and so on. They cannot discern. They couldn't discern. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the point I'm trying to bring right there, They are saying they are wedding, they are making fun, they are drinking and whining and so on. That, not discerning the signs of the time, like in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what is happening right now. So anyway, we are told in the scripture that total darkness occurred, cover the earth at the time the Lord was crucified. That is in Matthew 27, verse 45. And let me read that to you. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So there was a darkness over all the land. Now, I want to say to people, that is not a solar eclipse at all. No. Now she gave you different reason for it. It's more than a solar eclipse, you know. It cannot be a solar eclipse for many reasons, as many people think, you know. Number one, total solar eclipse will only last for, according from scientists, maximum of 7 minutes. That's maximum. The one on April 8th was only for 4 minutes. In every place here, they have to it only for 4 minutes, right? But the darkening of the land in the day the Lord was crucified was 3 hours, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's what the Bible says, right? That cannot be a solar eclipse at all, you know? Now, another thing, why it cannot be a solar eclipse is this. Now, we know that, eclipses happen because the moon is in the sky during the day. That's why, right? And it gets across between the earth and the sun. That's why you have a total eclipse, right? It eclipses the sun because it occurs during the day. So that's one thing and something that, you know. And that's what, when it happens, so the moon, I'm sorry, the sun will backlit the moon, right? You know, that's what is happening in the total eclipse and so forth, that, you know. So it cannot be, you know, it couldn't be a total eclipse in any way that you can think and so on, because it's just contrary to the way eclipses occur. Now, another reason is this. The Bible tells us that the Lord was crucified during the feast of the Passover, right? Which always occurred at the full moon of the Jewish month of Nisan. In other words, it is utterly impossible for an eclipse to occur during the Passover festival, because the moon is on the wrong side of the wall to black out the sun at that time. So it couldn't, another reason why it cannot be a total solar eclipse that happened the day that was crucified. All of this leads us to realize that whatever happened to the sun the day that was crucified cannot be explained by a solar eclipse. It's impossible. What was it? It was a supernatural event. Amen. Praise the Lord. A supernatural event. The supernatural can never be explained. You can never explain the supernatural. Praise the Lord. That's the way God does things. Amen. The supernatural God does things supernaturally. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't explain it at all until that, you know. But what is a solar eclipse? Because it's a supernatural occurrence. And another thing I can say is this. The phenomenon on the Lord they was crucified, in one sense, vindicated the deity of Christ. Why? The light of the world was leaving the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In John chapter 9 verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You can say in that day, symbolically, you know, and so in one sense, the light of the world, they crucified the Prince of Life, right? The just one, you know, they are doing and so on. So to say in a sense, the light of the world was leaving the world. And therefore, sun himself was ashamed to even shine. Amen? Praise God. So anyway, and by the way, it cannot be not a solar eclipse, it's a supernatural occurrence. Now let's move on now. Luke 21 verse 11. And great earthquakes, crossing signs, right? Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences. So now, all these things will be happening at the coming of the Lord, sometimes simultaneously crossing signs, right? Now, here is talking about famines. The British Red Cross report has followed recently, talking about famines. Africa food crisis, it says, more than 150 million people are going hungry. This is a recent report from British Red Cross report. So I'm reading here, verbally, and so I'm just quoting them. Bible says, I'll be famines, right? Also, in the same report, it says, swelling food crisis, a conflict, and climate change are plunging parts of Africa into a severe and enduring food crisis, with millions of people in Africa facing extreme hunger. It's a Bible says famine, right? Bible says so. So this is just new report of recent events talking about crossing signs, right? All this are happening at the same time. Even taps run dry in Africa's richest city called Johannesburg. South Africa's largest city is in an unprecedented, that's their language, not mine, unprecedented water crisis. Residents, rich and poor, have never seen a shortage of this severity. Africa's richest city. The other people can see what? See? Bible prophecy, crossing signs, they are all crossing, announcing the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about earthquakes a little bit. I'm going to talk extensively on earthquakes, past, present, and even with the future. See? So we'll take care of it from there. So crossing signs. As we just read, the Lord mentioned that earthquakes are one of the signs of his coming and of the end of the world. Just this same month again, a magnitude 4.8 earthquake struck New Jersey in the morning of Friday, April 5. See the crossing signs? Eclipses, earthquake, wars, in the same month. Crossing signs, right? A magnitude 4.8 earthquake struck New Jersey in the morning of Friday, April 5. It was the strongest in New Jersey in over 200 years. It was followed by a 4.0 magnitude aftershock. The USGS, meaning United States Geological Survey, you know, reported, or they said that, a magnitude 5 or 8 higher, you know, are possible in coming weeks in the same area, you know. Otherwise, but at least 11 aftershocks after that 4.8 were that occurred on April 5 and so forth. Now, you know, and they say earthquakes are uncommon, but not unheard of along the Atlantic coast. What said the scripture? Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Amen. Where has never even occurred before? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus, sir. Now, the ravages of earthquakes have occurred down through the centuries. The United States Geological Survey estimates that several million earthquakes occur in the world each year. Now, what did you hear about them? Some of them are of little magnitude, or they happen in remote areas. That government is reporting that over a million each year of earthquakes occur. Jesus said in diverse places, right? So it is happening, just as the scripture has said. Let us walk through a catalog of some great earthquakes that hit this world. And we're going to go to future earthquakes prophesied by the Bible. You know, that's how much important earthquakes are as a sign to the coming of the Lord. So let's see some past earthquakes and the devastations that they wrought upon the face of the earth. You think the world will repent? No. As in the days of Noah, right? They did it. Or it is too late when the door of the ark will be shut. December 16, 1811, historic Mississippi Valley earthquake occurred. The earthquake raised and lowered part of the Mississippi Valley by as much as 15 feet and changed the course of the Mississippi River. A river changed course because of the earthquake. This is in history, you know. And in that earthquake, at one point, the Mississippi River momentarily reversed its direction, giving rise to what they call Lake Refoot, you know, in Tennessee area. Now, also the same earthquake, 30,000 square mile area was affected, and tremors were felt as far away as the east coast of the United States. Can you see? Across the nation and so forth. Where the shock was reported to have a wrong church bell, as if to say, you guys pray. The earthquake was so devastated, it rang church bells around the east coast and so on. As if to say, better pray. You know, that's what I'm thinking. You know, anyway, but they didn't pray, no? Additionally, earthquakes and aftershocks continue throughout the winter in that area of the world. And, of the approximately 2,000 seismic vibrations felt during the period, 5 were estimated to be over 8.0 on the Richter scale. You know, just past earthquakes and devastation. People are forgetting about all of those things. On April 18, 1906, this is important, an earthquake struck California with the epicenter near San Francisco, claiming lives estimated to be over 700. It took place, now this is very important, it took place 9 days after the historic Azusa Revival that began in Los Angeles, California on April 9, 1906. That drought began in 1906, earthquake occurred April 18, 1906. Very important. The revival, as we all know about it, maybe, I think we all know, was led by a black man by the name of William Seymour, an African-American preacher. That revival continued until roughly 1915 from 1960, and it shook west all over the world. We know about Azusa revival, all of us. I put this all here, talking about black man and the gospel. It was Simon of Cyrene, a black man, that bear the Lord's cross to the crucifixion site. Scripture, Matthew 27, verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene if you want, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear the Lord's cross. You see, that's a black man, famous, one of the greatest revivers in the world, you know, California, was a black man that led it. So, it was a black man that helped the Lord with the cross and so forth. Anyway, just by the way, you know, going back in and going through the ravages of earthquake in history, 1923, a third of Tokyo and Yokohama were destroyed. 1935, an earthquake in India killed 50,000 people. In Chile, 1939, a disastrous earth tremor raised to 50,000 square miles and took the lives of 30,000 people. In the same place, in 1960, the same place in Chile, a magnitude 9 plus left over 2 million people homeless and killed estimated thousands. In the same year of 1960, Turkey suffered a major earthquake that took over 100,000 lives. And on February 6th last year, in the same Turkey, you know about that one, last year, February last year, the Turkey Syria earthquake claimed over 60,000 people and left millions homeless. You were all here last year, but that won't happen. Just take certain earthquakes of great devastation in the history of the world and telling us something is about to happen. What is it? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In May 31, 1970, a 7.9 magnitude earthquake in Peru killed about 70,000 people and injured about 50,000. On February 6, 2023, like I said before, a magnitude 7.8 earthquake occurred in southern Turkey, near the northern border of Syria. Now, let me name a little bit more. July 28, 1976, Tangshan, China earthquake, level 90% of Tangshan's buildings, killing over a quarter of a million people and 160,000 other injured in the days preceding the certain signs occur. You know, even nature, they can know things at times. In the day preceding that earthquake in China, people began to notice strange phenomena in and around Tangshan. Well water levels rose. Imagine you have a well water levels rose and fell like that, you know, just before that earthquake. Rats were seen running in panicked packs in broad daylight. No, that's coming in the night, right? You don't see that they are hiding right now, it's not time, right? But before the earthquake, in that China thing, rats were seen running in panic packs in broad daylight. Chickens refused to eat. Nation even knows something going to happen, right? You know, but humankind, they don't know anything, you know. Anyway, and during the evening of the day before, 27th of July, early morning, people reported flashes of colored light and running fireballs all over China. That's time as well, you know. One of the most, destroying earthquake and so forth. December 20, 2004, Sumatra, Indonesia, earthquake, and the tsunami that followed. The strongest ever, recorded to that time, killed an estimated 230,000. We were all here in 2004. 230,000 people killed, and made this disaster one of the 10 worst of all time. January 12, 2010. Again, Haiti earthquake was the strongest quake to strike the region in more than 200 years. It left over 200,000 people dead and some 895,000 Haitians homeless. And August 14, 2021, earthquake killed over 2,000 and injured another 13,000 in the same place. No wonder Haiti is in crisis right now. In fact, the people are having trouble. It's not full of crimes if you're looking at the news, and it's all gang greedy. Even U.S. people want to get their people out, they're having difficulty. It's not full of gangs and so forth, one of the poorest nations in the world, you see? Famine, talking about famine and pestilence, is right, happening right there, So it's happening right there. Even don't think that it's far away, Bible says in Davos, here in Arizona, Sunday, November 1, 2015, we are all here, a series of minor earthquakes, ranging from 3.2 to 4.1 magnitude, jolted the Phoenix area on that Sunday morning. Sunday morning, November 1, 2015, night. Sending shock waves through several cities. All three took place near Black Canyon City, Arizona, not far from here, on the way to Flagstaff, and about 45 miles north of Phoenix, Bible says in diverse places. Never know where you're going to strike next. So wash it therefore and pray always, the Bible tells us, and so forth. Now, let me just begin to look at the earthquakes of the future, or even one of the past. So, earthquakes attended most important events in past history, and it will also attend most important events to happen in the future. Let's see. There was an earthquake at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say earthquake attended some of the most important events in the history, in the past, and it will in the future. Let's look at a few of the past. At the death of Christ, there was an earthquake. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51 says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, the Bible says. Well, I just leave it here, just telling you that earthquake do attend some of the most important events in past history, and it will in the future, as we see shortly. Number two, there was an earthquake at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, about 3 days apart, right? As his crucifixion, earthquake. As his resurrection, earthquake. Let me read that one. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So earthquake at his death, earthquake at his resurrection, so earthquake attended some most important events in past history. There will be, so talking about the, let's go to the future now, there will be an earthquake in the great day of the Lord when it begins. Now we know Revelation 6:12 is an event that tells us about the great day of the Lord starting. Revelation 6:12 says this, And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, you know, as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood. We know the Lord referenced this thing also in the Matthew 24. I don't have that verse here. The Lord says, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon, and so on, that you know. So the Lord mentioned the same event in Matthew 24, somewhere in India. Now, let's see more of the earthquake of the future. Now that's the one I just tell you right now. An earthquake will mark the beginning of the trumpet judgment, when an angel will offer the prayer of the saints upon the golden altar. And that you can read in Revelation 8, verse 2. Ask Christ for the future, you know, and some of that, you know. Revelation 8, 2 says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayer of the saints, ascended off before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. I always rejoice when you read this kind of a verse. Your prayers have been stored in the golden vials. Your prayer accomplished some things on earth. If you accomplish much in the future, amen. Praise the Lord. How powerful, you know, your prayers are. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen. They bring judgment to the world at the end of the age. And inspiration for us to pray always as the Lord taught us. Yes. Now, so we see that there, that's one coming in the future. Another aspect of the future is here. There will be a great earthquake after the resurrection of the two witnesses. Now, around the time of the great tribulation, in Revelation 11, God will send two witnesses to Israel. Now today, we preach the gospel to them, where initially the church was all Jewish, right? We know that. And of course, when they get the gospel, then God turned to the Gentiles and so forth. However, since that they are safe here and there, one here, one there. But we know they will be safe as a nation, really, you know. Eventually, as a nation. Anyway, so here is when the two people came, there are the two prophets come in Israel, the last day, Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days, there are the two that sent to Israel and so on. And after 3 days, and a half, when they have been killed and so on, that you know, and the spirit of life from God enter into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Let me back up a little bit. Because when they appear, they will preach the same gospel that you and I have preached, and so on, like the church, to the people of Israel. They will warn the Jews of the Antichrist not to take his mark. So they warn the Jews, and those who want to listen, not to take the mark of the beast, and so on, as you know. And they will torment the Antichrist. They will do so many signs. They can call fire from heaven like Elijah did. They can make the water turn to blood. Or in Revelation 11, I don't have time to read all of that to you, but it's right there. You go and read it for yourself. Now, when at the end of their ministry, God will allow the Antichrist to kill them. God allowed it for a purpose. And that's where I go to verse 11 now. So they were killed after they are at the end of their ministry. Then they are killed. Then verse 11 says, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear upon all them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Let me just say something. Isn't that what happened to the elect in Revelation 4:1? By the way, after this thing, meaning after the church age, I say, you know, it was in the spirit and so forth, and a door was opened in heaven and so forth, and he saw one sat upon his throne looking at Jaha and after this stone. And I had a word, I said, come up either, that the rapture and so forth. So the same way, these two witnesses have a resurrection and so forth, you know. Now, when the Lord was crucified and rose from the dead, only some people saw them who were predestinated before the world began, as Apostle Peter told us and so forth. Only a few people saw him and so on, that, you know. Although at one time, 500 saw him, we know that. You know, so anyway, so up to now, people don't believe the resurrection of Christ. So God will allow these people to be resurrected and be seen by all the world to vindicate again, to really tell them that Christ rose from the dead. And he himself is coming again in the visible and revelation form to praise the Lord. Amen. So we see all these things happen. So anyway, let's go back to in verse 13 now. So not only that they were risen from the dead, now you can see them on your cell phone. I mean, you know, and so on, that you know. That's how we have global communication, you know, and so on. Now people used to wonder at this scripture before, how can the whole world see this? No longer is a good anymore. No longer they say we were watching as a drone while landing over Israel last night. We were watching Israel from there. Everybody all over the world, right? So what else is left? You know, and so on. So people all over the world see them at that time and so on, that you know. Anyway, so we say verse 13 says this. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. See? Earthquake for the future, right? I say future event will be attended by earthquakes too. Anyway. And at the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10 parts of the city fell in Jerusalem and so forth. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So at the resurrection of the two witnesses in heaven, there'll be a great earthquake killing 7,000 people around Jerusalem area. And the Bible says something like that, you know. Let's see more of the aspect of the future. I begin to wrap up here. You know, crossing signs, right? You know, all over the earth as we near the coming of the Lord. An earthquake will take place at the time of the judgment of the righteous dead. Meaning at the judgment seat of Christ. That place is not to be judged for sin. This is the writing of the saints of God and so forth to get the reward from the Lord and so on, that you know. That's in chapter of Revelation 11 is where it is at. Revelation 11, 18. You know. And the nations were angry. And the wrath is come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. You see that? And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Look at verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thundering and an earthquake. And great hail, he said as well as you know, earthquake for the future. At the time we are receiving reward, at the judgment seat of Christ, an earthquake will be rendering apart the earth and so on that you know. Now, the final earthquake will happen also in the book of Revelation, the final one. Call it the mother of earthquakes. Forget of what I told you, all the quakes I talked about today, this last one, I mean, this part of the world will be like nothing compared to this one, the mother of earthquakes. Now, the final earthquake, which is greater than all others, will precede Christ's Revelation second coming, meaning when he is coming, when all the world will see him. Now, Revelation 16:16. And I said earthquake will attend the greatest event of the future, like it happened in the time of Christ's crucifixion and at his resurrection. So again, so anyway, 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his fire into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunder and lightning, and there was a great earthquake. Now watch this. Such as was not seen since since we were upon the earth, rather, so mighty an earthquake, God said, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. That's Jerusalem, right? And the cities of the nations too were going to be affected, you see? Now, and the city of the nations fell. What an earthquake. It's going to go all over the world, right? See? Talking about the mother of earthquakes. And the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine or the fierceness of his wrath. Now, we have mentioned that when the two witnesses raised from the dead, 7,000 people already died in Jerusalem, right? Like we read before. Now, apparently, the gigantic earthquake and tremor will shake great cities, like we just read now, of the earth to their very foundation. The importance and the extent of this earthquake is revealed in the number of times it's referenced in the Bible. So this earthquake is so important that it's mentioned not only here in the book of Revelation. I want to read to you other parts of the Bible where this same earthquake, the last earthquake, is mentioned. Prophet Haggai mentioned this earthquake in Haggai 2:6. "For this, said the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Verse 7, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts." So, referring to the same earthquake as you occur, Revelation has told us that, Isaiah himself, the prophet, mentioned this earthquake, refers to it and so forth. And that will be in the second chapter of Isaiah, verse 19. "And they shall go into holes of the rock and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake terribly the earth." See? Terrible earthquake and so on. "He will shake terribly the earth," as I have said. "This is indeed not an ordinary earthquake this time." Isaiah, again, spoke of it in the 24th chapter, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down." Can you imagine how it's going to happen? See? "And scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." Verse 18. "And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the fountains of the heart do shake." See? Shake, earthquake, right? Verse 19 says, "The earth is utterly broken down. The heart is clean dissolved. The heart is moved." See that one? "Moved exceedingly," the Bible says. "The heart shall re-to and fro. like a drunkard. And shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof and so forth shall be heavy upon him, and he shall fall his head and not rise again. So now, what is happening here? This may be the time when the earth axis will be shifted back to normalcy. We believe so. For right now, in the days of the flood, the earth axis have been displaced. One day I'm going to talk about it, not many, very soon. I don't know what, maybe next Sunday or the other, I don't know. We'll talk about that and some of that, you know. So the earth axis have been shifted in the days of the flood. And and displaced. You see, one scripture for that, Psalm 82 verse 5, towards the end. All the foundations of the heart are out of core. Bible says, if you are wondering what are the foundations of the earth, we can explain that more. I can say a little bit right now. I can just simply say, these are the cosmic forces of nature that hold the earth in place. Maybe next time, I don't know, next Sunday or whatever, I don't know, talk more about that as soon as you know. Anyway, the tilt of the earth axis right now is about 23.5 degrees. Earth is inclined. It's not straight up, right? That's why you have, so it's inclined at about 23.5 degrees. Altogether too much, and it's said to have partly affected the seasons. That's why you have all these terrible seasons and so on. Before you know it now, when you enter the hurricane season, the hurricanes and the tornadoes, and all of these things, because of the inclination of the earth. In the beginning it was not so. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Now, so we see that there, let me say this one. Now, even science report about 2 weeks ago, let me give you this report and so forth, to see that we are living in momentous times. The signs are crossing signs, I call it, or they don't put in my heart to name it. Anyway, scientific report says this. The world timekeepers and scientists recently revealed that the earth is spinning faster than it used to. You can look it up yourself, The heart is spinning faster than before, So clocks might have to skip a second to keep up. For the first time, this is a language, for the first time in history, world timekeepers may have to consider subtracting a second from our clocks. In a few years, because the planet is rotating a little faster than it used to, clocks may have to skip a second, called a negative leap second. You know, we have leap years, right? Every year, that is divided by 4, but not by 100, it's called a leap year, right? This year is a leap year, right? So every 4 years is a leap year. A year that is divided by 4, not by 100, it'll be a leap year. Now, they're not talking of a leap second, negative leap second, right? Because the heart is spinning faster than it used to be. You see? Science are reporting this. Let me say, and something caught my attention in their report. And a little scientist said this. He said, this is an unprecedented situation and a big deal, he said, I'm quoting him. It's yet another indication that we are in an unusual time. Scientist is saying that, unusual time. What should the prophecy be saying? Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, I think I've run out of time here. Let me quickly run over this one. Now, let me just tell you the effect of this earthquake, this great earthquake of the end of the age. Let's talk about it in effect in Jerusalem, for example. So the effect of it in Jerusalem have some dire consequences, some a blessing and some that in a sense. Now, the effect of this last earthquake on Jerusalem, Revelation 16:19 says, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. This indicates that the destruction of Jerusalem will not equal that of the cities of other nations whose fall will be total. Because it says the cities of the nations fell, right? Jerusalem is only divided into three parts, right? Other cities spread into nations. So it's only even milder. We mentioned that Jerusalem already suffered 7,000 losses, you know, when the two cities rose from the dead and so on like that, you know. Now, the fall of Jerusalem, you know, is a signal for the Lord of hosts to be revealed in flaming power. That's why I want to read it and so on. I say future events, earthquakes, they accompany the most important things, you know, as it will occur. Even the second coming of the Lord, at his death, great earthquake. Resurrection, great earthquake. At his second visible coming, an earthquake. See? And one of the Revelation 14:4. And and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the middle thereof, toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Moreover, anyway, there will be a topographical changes. One of it, like we said, you know, Zechariah said it again in another place, and so that I just the book of Zechariah and so that, you know. Now, the Bible says, Zechariah said that the living waters will pour out from Jerusalem, half of which will flow west toward the Mediterranean Sea, and the other eastward toward the Dead Sea. That is in Zechariah 14:8. Let's quickly read that and then we get to wrap up here. 14:8 of Zechariah. And it shall come, it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, that is the Mediterranean Sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, meaning the Dead Sea. That's what it means. And now the Bible says, yeah, and so on. Now let me talk about the Dead Sea. Quickly and so to see how it's affected. Today, nothing grows in the Dead Sea because it's salty. 26% salty. If a fish ran from the Jordan River and mistakenly crossed to the Dead Sea, he will die. You know? Around the Dead Sea is just nothing can go right there now. But Bible says that when this thing happens, this water comes from Jerusalem will run into the Dead Sea. God said to the west and then to the hinder sea, which is Dead Sea, make it sweet again. That's another prophet right there. Ezekiel 47 said this and so on. So the arid area around the Dead Sea today, where there are no fishes and so on, here is the future for it. When this thing happened, Ezekiel 47. Then said it unto me, these waters, in the coming out of Jerusalem, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert where you have the Dead Sea and go into the sea, meaning the Dead Sea, which then brought forth into the sea, to the Dead Sea, the waters shall be healed, how the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Today, fish don't live in the Dead Sea, but they will, where that happen, and so on. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because this water shall come to that, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Verse 10 says, and it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eniglim. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, exceedingly many. That prophecy, great earthquake, we attend great events of the future. I'm just going to cut it short right here. So this event is at the actual physical return of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are seeing in Zechariah 14:5, and the Lord my God shall come, and so on. And all the saints with him, you see, I mean, great earthquakes, we attend future events, the greatest of events of the future as in the past. So the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and that event alone is a fulfillment of prophecy in itself. At his ascension, two heavenly bodies attached to the disciples in Acts 1:10. And here's what they say. And while they look steadfastly toward heaven, many disciples, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another one, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Important, that's where the Lord went up, right? That's why I'm reading it. From the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day. So it's coming back again physically. Zechariah 14:5 says, like I read to you, to the same place. So in a sense, in the manner in which you go to heaven, right? This same Jesus. Also because the another sense that he will come down at the same place where he went to heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord, you know. So we should make our heart to bubble and to joy. Whatever was comforted in this world, we are more than conquerors, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even the Lord himself, looking at the that was said before him, he endured the cross, the glory said before, he endured the cross, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bible says the suffering of the present time cannot be compared with the glory to be revealed in us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. That makes every creature to endure, whatever it is, he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved, amen. Now, so let's just encourage our hearts, some of prophecy and so forth, not to make us to be sad. It is the opposite way, really, amen. So the Lord ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, and he will come visibly in the same manner, I mean, in one sense, back to the Mount of Olives as we just read now. So Luke 21 verse 9 says this. To now wrap up this, I'll give us a wrap up to encourage our hearts. Be not, 21:9 of Luke, towards the end, be not fearful, be not terrified, for this thing must first come to pass. Not to make us to be afraid. In fact, I already told us not to be terrified, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, so that's 31 verse. When you see this thing come to pass, when you see this crossing sign come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That is the meaning of this thing, brother and sister. Not for us to be fearing at the people of the world. Now, verily, 32 verse. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now in John 14:27, upon all these things and so forth, here is what the Lord leave with you and I. Let's learn to use them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, Philippians 4:19, see, as these events are occurring, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, famine and drought notwithstanding, inflation, deflation notwithstanding, economic collapse notwithstanding. That is the word of the Lord for his elect. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 37 verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor they are still begging bread. Now last three scriptures here. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, findeth, or receiveth rather. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, he shall be opened. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive them. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Not when you see them now. When you pray, believe that you receive them. God said, ye shall have them. Last scripture, finally. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is his sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for strengthening our hearts. Not only showing, but we say when he shall come, the Spirit of truth, he will show us all things. Put us in remembrance of all the things you've told us before. And he will show us things to come. And he's doing it in the body of Christ today. So we are very grateful. We're not left in darkness as to what will happen. Not only do we see them, but we are given to know the meaning of them, what they really mean. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ dressed now. Say the coming of the Lord dressed now in the book of James. So we thank you, Father, for making us to be children of life, not of darkness. So by the grace of God, that day will not come upon us unawares. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we keep your word, watching and pray always, not sometimes now, not when we hear of what people are we are. No, every day. For the day and the hour we don't know. So therefore we help us to keep up in our prayer life. Help us to make prayer a business. Number one business really. In the mighty name of Jesus. When it is over, it will be over. So we don't want to be of them on the day of Noah. You know, and so on and so on. For 120 years. Bible says they will buy and sell it, marry and give it in marriage. And then they are doing all those things. On the day came and the flood came and Noah entered into the ark and the flood took them all away. Nothing wrong with marriage, nothing wrong doing your business, but when they make it their God and they make it an idol, that's where the trouble comes from. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let us be Lord as you have told and revealed to us. So we thank you for our guidance together this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I will commit the new week to your hand, Lord. Lord, you have already promised us whatsoever we do shall prosper. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So we believe and we receive in the name of the Lord. So by faith this morning, I commit every inquiry of every heart sitting here this morning. You know, I don't know what they are, but God knows all things. He understood the thoughts. He can read our mind because he is God. Bible says he knows what is in the mind and so on. He maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. So I commit all our needs in your hand this morning, as the scripture has said. And we believe by faith you will meet all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In one place he said that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is in the scripture. We receive it as it is, Lord. Not being of our own understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just receive it raw as God gave it. In the name of Jesus, be it unto us, Lord, according to thy word. And we say even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let us to our feet and say, we give him all the glory. We give him all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise the Lord as we share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your patience, brethren. A little bit over time here.